Medicine Walker again. Hey, Medicine Walker.
Hey, Kiss, how are you this evening?
Doing well. I wanted to ask you, do you know what lays in front of you and what lays behind you? What lays to the left of you? What lays to the right of you? What lays beneath you? And what lays above you?
My medicine wheel.
Yeah. These seven winds. They're the colors of the rainbow, right?
Correct.
And what else?
Well, there are many things. They have animals that guide us through life and are born under our signs. They also give us wisdom and strength. We have gemstones. We have plants. It's all around on the complete circle.
We have the seven wonders of the world.
Seven wonders of the world, 7 days of the week.
The completion.
Yeah. Seven cycles of life.
Yeah. We have all kinds of things in that, don't we?
Colors.
Yeah. It's like, even though we have the four main winds, we have seven, because we have the within us, we have above us and below us.
And below, correct.
Yeah. I wanted to know if you wanted to talk about angels and spirit guides this evening.
Sure.
Yeah. Because, you know, the word angel is angelos, which means messenger. And do you know much about any of that? Or
I've dealt with a lot of the angels around people that I've been at, especially when I was at Children's Hospital. But as far as knowing, I've learned a lot from you.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you the story about my sister-in-law working at a hospital? She's a neonatal intensive care nurse, and she had these little children that she was working on, this little baby that was probably about the size of her hand. And this mother this nurse that worked with her had left her children outside, you know, they could barely peep over the window and see what was going on inside.
Mm-hmm.
They could only see above the bed, and she went in to get her check. And the little four-year-old, her daughter, could barely see over. And they worked and worked and worked on this child while she went in to get her check with Wendy, my sister-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And needless to say, the baby had passed away. But when she got out to the elevator with her children, the little four-year-old little girl said, "Mommy, is there angels always with you at work?" And she goes, "Well, yeah, I guess so." And she said, "Well..." And she didn't know the baby was black, and she said that the little black baby had gone up with these two big angels over the bed.
Hmm.
And so she called Wendy back at work and said, "Is there any lights or anything over that bed that could have made angelic-looking figures?" And she said, "Well, no." And she said that, you know, told the story about how the angels took that little baby up. And then another story was the same family, my nephew Stephen, was with his father, and he was 8 years old, and his father and him were out hunting at the hunting lodge, but way in the woods, and they were on a four-wheeler. His father, he was in the front, and his father collapsed on top of him, was a very big man, probably like 300 pounds, had fallen over on top of little Stephen. And Stephen somehow wedged out from underneath his father from the massive heart attack, and Stephen said that the angels carried him a mile back to the lodge, and he says, "Aunt Kathy, it didn't even hurt to run. The angels carried me." He said, "You know, when you run, you get that pain in your heart." He says, "They carried me all the way, but the two big angels stayed by my daddy while I went and got my brother."
Mm-hmm.
And he described the angels, you know, what they looked like and everything. And then when my father died, my brother David got the angel halo around him. And I saw, you know, the angels with my dad.
You know,
those angels are everywhere.
Oh, I've never seen them. I've heard them. And when I was at Children's, I had a little girl who had leukemia that was on my floor. And when I'd go in to drop her meds off into the room to the nurse, she'd say, Kim, she said, did you see the angels are here for me? Can you see them? Can you hear them? They're singing beautiful music. And I sat there with her, and the nurse and the doctor that were in there kind of looked at each other and looked at me, and they walked out to the station where they did all their work. And the little girl said, isn't their music beautiful? And I could hear the music. And I could see light around this child. And I walked out, and the doc and the nurse says, we don't understand. She had looked. And they said, we don't understand. She has, she's doing really well and this and that. And she kept saying, well, the angels are going to come for me soon. The angels are going to come for me soon. And I said, you need to really watch this child because the angels are going to come for her soon. You can hear the music in there. And they kind of looked at me. I didn't even get down to the elevators, and the angels came for that child.
And
they took her. And they just couldn't believe it. And when it was all said and done, they just looked at me and they said, oh, my gosh, you had said it, you know. And I said, yep. I said, she said it. She saw them. She knew they were there for her. And she was content with it, which was pretty amazing. But they're very graceful. They're very...
And they're big.
Oh, yeah, they're huge. But the music is just, oh, my God, the music's like nothing you ever have heard. It's just,
I know. That's what they say. I got to, you know, the more you believe and the more you evolve, I wanted to see the angels, but when my dad died, Amazing Grace just happened to be playing on the radio when he was passing away from cancer, and he was reaching his arms way up over his head. You know the story because you were with me
mm-hmm.
through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he just went so peacefully
mm-hmm.
throughout that whole ordeal. And
they're there for you when they're around you
and
always.
And the first ones that you call, that's what I wanted to talk about tonight. But I wanted to also talk about the spirit guides. Because, you know, the angels, they're neither male nor female,
mm-hmm.
and they bring light, you know, the light energy into us, and
they heal.
And the creator,
yep,
and humanity.
Healers.
Right, and the spiritual transformation that takes place on the planet, which angels are different in many respects from the spirit guides, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they usually come from the frequency of unconditional love, whereas the spirit guides have personalities and,
mm-hmm.
you know, are very humorous. And
yep, and you may have several different spirit guides throughout your life.
Right.
That come
and
to you.
The spirit guides talk a lot. So.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. And there's so many different types of angels. I'm just going to... talk a little bit about different
mm-hmm.
ones and see what you think. There's the choir of angels.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's on the multiply page that I'm on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can go there and, you know, if anybody wants to follow along with us, I'm on http://brightlightspath.multiply.com, and I have different angels and what they do on that page. And
yep, you have guardian angels on here as well.
Yeah, and then there's different links to different things on there. But the choir angels, you want to go from there?
Sure.
Okay.
Choir angels of creation are a group of seven angels who are said to have been in existence before the creation of the world. That angels may have been created before the birth of the world is attested to by this passage in Job 38, according to the second book of Enoch, a useful source for angelic lore. The seven angels reside in the sixth heaven. There remains, however, serious discussion among angelologists as to when God created the angels. Angel choir, the ninth and final order of the angels, according to the organization of the celestial hierarchy, is created by the 6th century theologian, and I'm not sure I'm going to even be able to say this Greek name, Dionysius
Uh-huh.
And I can't even go there with that other one. The Areopagite. The angels belong to the third and final triad of choirs with the archangels and principalities, their primary focus of their existence being created for caretaking of humanity and the world. White, the lowest rank of all angel beings, if one accepts the idea of a regulated angelic organization, angels are nevertheless members of the heavenly host and thus possess the profound and beautiful attributes given to them by their creator. They are beings of pure spirituality and exist to fulfill the tasks given to them by God. Chief among these are to act as messengers of the Lord to the earth and the guardians of the human soul.
Wow. Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's pretty amazing stuff.
And guardian angels are tutelary angels. They're well established and widely accepted and belief of all people, all nations, cities, and churches. They have special angels who stay with them, watching over their lives and encouraging their spiritual well-being and happiness. Many deities that guardian angels could possibly exist, but others state that they, with the support of scripture, theological writings, and common sense, that they do live, even if moral forgets a refuge of knowledge of their presence. The idea of guardian angels is found in Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, and the roots of their belief date to the earliest time of St. Thomas Aquinas, and one history foremost expert of angels stated that people have guardian angels. They remind with the throughout life, staying ever at one's side, even during sin. They foster good works and help to direct a soul to salvation, but only if soul is so inclined to be led. They cannot influence will. They do not act upon the sense or project themselves upon imagination, intellect, discourage evil acts. And according to Thomas, the angels remained even after death, standing with the soul in heaven. There, however, it does not encourage salvation, but assists in glimpsing at the final brightness of eternal bliss. All guardian angels are taken from the lowest ranks of celestial hierarchy, namely the choir of angels.
Hmm.
Amazing, isn't it?
It is. Guardian angels. Guardian angels are pretty awesome. I've heard many stories over the years of things that remind me of guardian angels. When I was building my house, and the young man that was working on the house, he had been up on the roof, and we have a very high peaked roof. It's like 30 feet from the center to the ground, and he was redoing the roof area, and it was pretty amazing because the roof collapsed, and he was the only one here, and he didn't have a strap on him, and yet he said he could feel hands grabbing him and guiding him to the ground, and he wasn't hurt, and he had fallen 30 feet, and he landed on his feet, so that was pretty amazing, and I'll never forget it, because he said, boy, I'll tell you what, that was my guardian angel, and you have to believe sometimes they are there. They are always around us.
You know, that reminds me of a story that I just totally forgot about. I was driving and hydroplaned in some water, not many years ago, and I said, okay, my hands are at 10 and 2 on the steering wheel. My guardian angels are in front, behind, and surrounding me, in front and in back of me, inside and outside of me. They have control of this car, and my car did a total circle in 8-lane traffic, but stayed on its side, went down an embankment, totally straight down on two wheels, went into the woods, missed every tree, and landed and stopped right in front of one of those great big electrical power things. and stopped right in front of a pole within, like, maybe the length of my arm. And I said, thank you, angels. And people just came from all over the place. And I said, yeah, that was my guardian angels driving. I said, no, that was my guardian angels driving because it missed all the trees. And, I mean, they were trees. And that big, big, I'm talking one of those humongous electrical things that is in one of those big wired fences. I was like, whoa. That was amazing.
They've had their license longer than you, that's all.
I know. What about the Angels of Last Judgment?
Angels of Last Judgment. The angels who are to appear at the Last Judgment, the final day when all who have ever lived will be brought before the throne of God. The idea of the Last Judgment is especially prominent in Islamic and Christian lore. In the latter, the angel Israfil shall play a blast upon his mighty trumpet to awaken the slumbering dead. Some angels will be spared the effects of the first blast, but after the third or fourth, even they shall be destroyed by the Lord, and the end of time will have descended upon all of creation in the Christian tradition. The second coming of Christ will be announced not by Israel, but by Gabriel, who will likewise sound an irresistible note upon his trumpet. Also prominent in the expected day of judgment is Saint Michael, the archangel, captain of the hosts of the Lord, who will presumably have just led the heavenly hosts in their final triumph over Satan and the legions of darkness.
Wow. Yeah, people mostly know of Gabriel and Michael. You know, Michael is like the angel of, you know, the fighting and the war and, you know, puts up the front for everybody. And Gabriel is like the protector. My mother has 14, well, there was 14 brothers and sisters. Gabriel being one that had was in my grandmother's womb till 8 months, but he had passed away at 6 months.
Oh.
And Gabriel is real, Sister Evangeline buried him out in Mercy Hospital grounds, and he's just real prominent in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought of him as the angel Gabriel when I was a child, even though I know he's not.
Mm-hmm.
But in a lot of my photographs, you've seen the two, you know, little cherubs with the crystal ball in front, and I say they guard my house. That's I call them Michael and Gabriel.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's the Garden of Eden. That's the earthly paradise that was adorned to Adam and Eve in the expulsion of the garden. And according to the Old Testament books of Genesis, derives the name perhaps the Sumerian word Eden meaning plain, or perhaps the word denoting pleasure. Eden was supposedly located at the nearest east of Israel. It is located nearing the position of the four rivers that formed the river that flowed out of Eden and nourished the garden. In Pishon. I don't know how to say that.
Pishon
or G-I-H-O-N, Gishon, or T-R-I-G-R-I-S.
Tigris.
Or E-U-P-H-R.
Euphrates River.
Okay, thank you. That would seem to place the garden a fertile crescent. Attempts to locate the garden, however, has not surprisingly proven successful. Beyond fearsome cherubs, list of a metron or Jezreel, there are a number of associations between angels and the garden. For example, famed Archangel Raphael is said to be the angel responsible for guarding the Tree of Life. The angel was also named by John Dryden in his poem State of Innocence and the Fall of Man, and being the angry angel who tossed Adam and Eve out of paradise. In paradise, lost by John Milton. However, the task was given to the Archangel Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Then, what do you say about the Angel of Egypt?
The Angel of Egypt?
Uh-huh.
The angel who is charged with special protection and guardianship of Egypt, ranked as one of the guardian angels of nations. See guardian angels. This angelic patron has been given various identifications, including Samuel, who is the chief angel of the fallen angels, Mastema, the accusing angel, and Duma, the latter angel, is most often considered the proper angel of Egypt. He was the most ferocious in defense of his charges, going so far in legend as to empower the accomplished wizards of Egypt to perform the same feats of magic as Moses then when the lawgiver arrived at the court of the Pharaoh and tried to impress him enough that the Israelites should be freed from their bondage. The Legends of the Jews by Louis Ginsberg. The angel descended to the land of the Nile to give to his people upon departure of the Jews, stopping long enough to put a fright into the Israelites by an impressive demonstration in the air. As Jewish custom declares all guardian angels of nations to have fallen, save, of course, the ever redoubtable St. Michael, the angel of Egypt joined many of the netherworld. It is unclear whether the Lord ever even appointed a successor.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't even know any of that.
Some of that, that's what I was going to say. I never really, really, really associated angels with Egypt when you think of Egypt. But it kind of makes sense and fitting as far as when Moses' time was that angels would have been present. Just because of the way their religion was so different, one wouldn't really think that they would even regard angels back then.
No. And the elders is a collective name given to a group of 24 beings who sit upon the throne, encircling the throne of God, and described by St. John in the book of Revelation. It is often believed by scholars and interpreters of Revelation that the elders are, in fact, to be counted as great angels. Perhaps a secret of distinct order of angelic beings. It is unclear, where exactly the elders reside, although the second book of Enoch lists them inhabiting parts of the first. E-L-O-H-I-M, Elohim.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, look at him.
Elders. The Hebrew name for God, Yahweh, the plural of Eloha, meaning God, while technically a plural world, the word, the singular Elohim, was used and understood as the Hebrew conception of the God of Israel, the one true God in Hebrew texts of the Old Testament. The word Elohim is used variously with other words or conjunctions such as ha to make entirely clear that this is the God and not some of other deity or personage. The grammatical addition was considered essential because Elohim had also been used for earlier goddesses. Its root, in fact, came from the word El and for such beings as angels. The application of Elohim, perhaps to be defined as sons of God, has been given to angels in the same sense that they represent God as messengers and thus are equitable or synonymous with God himself. It can be argued, however, that the Elohim might constitute their own order of choir, as was maintained by the 15th century scholar Pico della Mirandola when he compiled his own list of the angel choirs. He placed the Equium in ninth place.
And then there's the Watchers. The Watchers, also termed the Grinoa, G-R-I-G-O-R-I, a group of angels who figured in Jewish legend. They are reputed You have members who have fell to sin, others who stayed devoted to the cause of the Lord. Originally, the Watchers were apparently some of the most Angus angels in all of heaven. They slept, kept eternal vigilance over heaven, and were some of the tallest beings in all creation. Wonder if that's the ones that, you know, watched, you know, gosh, see, that watched Stephen's father while he went to get his brother.
Could be.
Because he said they were so tall.
I think it's so amazing that kids can see what their minds haven't been told they can't see yet. You know, that as we get older and we put those borders on, blinders on our eyes and are taught not to be open, that we miss as adults. I just think that's so wonderful to be around the children when they see stuff like that. It's such a wonderful
thing. Yeah, because they're still so innocent.
Yep.
That's why we have to be so childlike.
Yep.
And get into that wounded inner child and heal the wounded inner child to be able to, you know, be awakened to the way that we need to be to evolve. But according to the Book of Jubilees, some of the degree of the first book of Enoch, they were sent to the earth to give instructions to the mortals of on nature and the knowledge considering useful for them to have by the Lord. Unfortunately, several Watchers became immortal, and human women and also cohabited with them. Their offspring were Nephilim.
Yeah.
The giants who were mentioned in the Book of Genesis and were supposedly troubled the world with cruelty and evil. The Nephilim, who all but exterminated in the flood. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
There is also another group of mighty angels called the Watchers, known in Hebrew as the Aaron and the Gladison. These angels are said to be the third book of Enoch, to number only two, and are the close companions of the Holy Ones. They are greater than all the angels combined, watched by no other creatures in the entirety of heavenly hosts. They reside directly next to the very throne of God and the Holy Ones. The Holy Ones. Act as the court officials of heaven. Wow. Debating every case that comes before the blessed throne. The Watchers and the Holy Ones were mentioned in the Book of Daniel 14:7. So there's three parts to the Watchers. So this says.
That's really interesting.
That is very interesting.
I never really thought about how, but that kind of makes sense over it as I think back on things that have been said over my life, you know, where people have talked and spoken of them, how they're different and actually have different things that they do or accomplish.
Okay, you want to do the angels of the week?
Sure, angels of the week, who have authority over the 7 days of the week in much of the same fashion as there are angels presiding over the planets, hours of the day, and months of the year. The angels give their particular day their special attention and in legend can be invoked to assist the person in some endeavor or need. The angels and their days are reported in the Magus, 1801, by Francis Barrett. Sunday is Michael. Monday is Gabriel. Tuesday is Camille. Wednesday is Raphael. Thursday is Sashiel. Friday is Anael. And Saturday is Cassiel. A couple of those I've never even heard of.
And then you can do the zodiac angels as well.
Oh, I suppose I can.
Yeah.
The traditions that there are ruling angels who watch over or govern the 12 signs of the zodiac. They are often to be considered synonymous with the various angels of the months of the year. Specifically, the angels of the zodiac are as follows. Oh, Aries is Mercadial. Taurus is Asmodel. Gemini is Ambriel. Cancer is Muriel. Leo is Vershiel. Virgo is Harnaliel. Libra is Uriel. Scorpio is Barbiel. Sagittarius is Adnashi. Capricorn is Haniel. Aquarius is Gabriel. And Pisces is Barshiel.
Well, then that makes sense. I'm an Aquarius, and that's why I see Gabriel all the time.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
You're always talking about Gabriel.
I know. Well, there you have that. And the flames. An order, a choir of order of angels that appear in the certain aspects of Jewish lore. An angelic choir by the name of flames is not normally counted among the traditionally accepted orders of angels. They can, perhaps, be equated with one of the recognized choirs of angels. There's manna, M-A-N-N-A. By tradition, the food of angels and blessed in heaven, it is best known as the food sent to the Israelites as they fled from Egypt and wandered in the desert under the leadership of Moses, meaning Azramic. What is this? Manna, which describes in the book of Exodus as the coordinator seed, white, that taste of it, which, like water, is made of honey. This is generally accepted meal of angelic hosts, although there is naturally some question why angels, being generally spiritual creatures, might have needed to needed for substantial food. Okay, you want to do the next one?
Merkaba angels, the collective name for those angels appearing in the lore and the traditions of mystical Jewish sect of the Merkaba. The Merkaba, or Merkava, meaning chariot, flourished in Judaism from the time of the first century A.D. and continued in the various centers throughout the early Middle Ages. Adherents of the sect believed in necessary and desirability of using esoteric and mystical means to ascend through the great seven heavens or mansions, called Hekalot, or Hekaloth, to the glorious throne of God, which rests upon an incomparable chariot, the Merkaba. The seal-keeping angels are sometimes equated with the seven Merkabas, a group of angelic beings who stand as the corresponding figures of the seventh heaven. They can perhaps also be identified as the virtual embodiment of the heavens themselves. Aside from these angels, the Merkaba accept that there were groups of angels always surrounding the throne of God. These were said to include the Seraphim, the Galgalim, and especially the Hayath.
When my dad passed away on his third day, he came to me. And he was really, 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 really tall. I've told you this story.
Mm-hmm.
But the listeners haven't heard it. Or maybe they have. But I said, Daddy, why are you so tall? And he says, I can be as big as I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Daddy, why do you have on blue? He said, that's my favorite color. And I said, Daddy, you look like you're about 32 years old. He said, that's the age I felt the best at, so that's the age I am here in heaven. And he said, there's seven layers to heaven. And he said that he had to work to get to the seventh layer. And he said he had to go through every part of his life and fix it that, you know, was not just right. And he said, and I said, well, why do you look like you're crying? He says, these are tears of joy. And I said, I thought there wasn't any tears in heaven. He said, well, we have emotions. And I said, why are you eating? He says, if I'm hungry, He says, I'm not hungry. He says, I just like to taste the food. And he says, there's a veil. He says, have to work through the veil. And he said that, he just told me so many things. I'm not even going to get into it because I want to get to all these angel things. But, I mean, he just sat and just talked to me on that third day.
That's wonderful.
It was a voice. It was like a thought talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then he visits me, from time to time with this thought talk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the messengers. One of the most important of all duties of angels. So much so that they are the very Hebrew word malakha and Greek word angelos denoting these beings both mean messengers. The angel stands at one of the central intermediaries of representatives of the Lord to humanity, existing entirely at the will and the service of God. The angel is frequently dispatched to earth to deliver some important revelation and declaration, usually having much impact upon the lives of recipients. Aside from the other tasks given to them is resonating to early affairs, angels are mentioned frequently in the Bible as ministers' role of messengers. While angels have many other duties and tradition, both in heaven and on earth, their role as messengers is still one central to their existence, serving to remind an often forgetful word that God loves all his creation and in concerning for well-being. Now, I want to say that Ellie Crystal, a friend of mine, of www.crystallinks.com is where I received this information from. And you can search her site and get so much information off of her site. And it's www.crystallinks.com. Okay, this is Bright Lights Pathfinders, Kathy Cook, with Madison Walker, 2, and that's her at AOL.com. She has, you want to give out your site?
Yeah, we have Dragon Horse Studio in East Tallis, Michigan, and we're at www.DragonHorseStudioOnline.com.
Thank you, and this is BDSRadio.com. That's who it's brought to you by on air. Okay, now the next one, Ms. Kimberly Madison Walker, the spiritual hierarchy of the angelic kingdom.
The name given to certain powerful and highly placed angels who are honored with the title of prince or ruling princes of heaven. The angelic princes are found especially in Jewish lore, with princes governing not only the seven heavens, but the angelic orders or choirs. Following are some of the princes of the individual choirs: the Seraphim, Michael, Metatron, Uriel, Seraphil, and Satan before his fall. Cherubim are Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel, Zophiel, and Satan again before his fall. Sada before his fall, I'm sorry. Thrones, Zaphnichol, Raziel, Orophel, and Jophiel. Dominations, Zadkiel, Zachriel, and Muriel. Virtues are Gabriel, Michael, Uziel, Tarshish, Sabriel, and Palil. Powers are Kamael, Gabriel, Vershiel, and Satan before his fall. Principalities are Amiel, Nisrash, and Haniel. Archangels are Metatron, Raphael, Michael, Gabriel, Barashiel, Juhidiel, and Satan before his fall. Angels, Gabriel, Shealiel, Phaleg, and Adnachiel. Boy, she's really gotten some wonderful, wonderful research on these pages. It's absolutely amazing.
Anything that you want, you can. She has a site. Instead of Googling, you just search in her engine.
Unbelievable.
She is unbelievable. The first high sphere, Septum Choir, the highest and most splendid of the nine accepted angelic orders of developed by the 6th century theologian, the D-I-N-Y-S-I-U-S, Dionysus, and Aphrodite, are largely embraced by the Christian Church. Not only the septum, the highest of the ninth choirs, they are ranked first in the first triad of the Thessalonian scheme, which the cherub and the throne. Without question, they are the closest in all heavens and the throne of God, and are primarily functioned in the circle, the incomprehensibly beautiful throne, the perpetual adorned of the Lord. According to Enoch, the septum of six wings, the last detail incorporated by the Old Testament of the book, Isaiah 6, 1-3, the celestial angels that are said to surround the throne of God, they are the regulators, the movement of heavens, and the untold responsibilities in the administration of God's infinite universe. Heavenly counselors, guardians, the light throughout the universe, have little contact with beings on earth. They keep celestial records. The Sumerian or original version of them was that they were entities that were relatively fierce-looking beings that had the body of an ox or a horse and a face of a man with a long bearded wing. They were supposed to have been sent to guard the Tree of Life in the Garden of Eden. There were 12 master septums. If possible, angels direct the affairs of the generation of the root race. Progress angels initiate the revolutionary process of creatures. Religious guardians, angels of the church, angels of national life, angels of the trumpet, direct political performance. Angels of national life, angels of trumpet, direct political performance. Get with it. Angels of the race, work with conversation of evolutionary process. Angels of the future, broadcast and predict the future. Angels of enlightenment, planetary education, mental and moral training. The home spectrum, preservation and advancement of the home. Angels of industrial, foster industrial development. Angels of diversion, play humor, rest, and human leisure. Angels of superhuman ministry, angels of the angels.
That's like a breakdown on all the angels. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That is pretty amazing how that does. I'm just looking a little bit ahead here, though, Cass, and I'm looking at the breakdown on Michael and Gabriel and how they've got some of them broken down. And
we have so much more information to cover. We have, only 10 minutes left to go on the show before we have to close. But we have to keep this in order so that we can pick up where we left off from next week.
And I'm losing you here.
Can you
look at pick up the other phone?
Okay.
All right, I will be right back.
Okay. The cherub choir, the second of nine accept choirs of angels, placed second as well as the first triad of the angelic hierarchy seat. Okay, you know a triad is three, right? With the spectrum of the thrones, devised by the 6th century theologian Dionysius, and the Aphrodite. The cherub are some of the most powerful and awe-inspiring of all angels, standing below the spectrum of the closest to God. Did I already read that? Don't think so. But anyway, you back yet? Closest to God. They are the second only septic brethren in the degree of which animate the love of God, possesses knowledge and wisdom. The illuminative knowledge of wisdom are thus so great, too utterly incomprehensible to the immortal mind. This is all incomprehensible, almost, to me. Blinding the blessed human who has the honor of actually beholding them in this world. The cherubim are additionally given the arbitrary task of maintaining the records of heaven and seeing the myriad details that must be fulfilled to maintain the heavenly host. Dionysus declared them to be guardians of fixed stars. By Hebrews, they were called cherubim, a name that may mean one who intercedes. Their chiefs are named as being Cherubel, Orophiel, Gabriel, Uriel, Raphael, and Zophiel. Now, the next paragraph is Throne's Choir. They are heavenly counselors and companion angels of all planets. One of the nine choirs of angels, as accepted on lore and determined by 6th century theologians, Dionysus and Arbogate, called by Orpheum and Galathum. In Hebrew traditions, the thrones are also determined the wheels and have many odd ones. The name wheels are derived from Hebrew with Orpheum, later Galathum. Wheels or spheres. That's in Ephesians. No, that's in, are you back? I can hear you in the background.
They belong to the first highest triad? Is that where you're at?
I'm on the Thrones of Choir.
Okay. I'm following you.
It's self-based with the vivid description of these angels found in the Testament of Ezekiel. That's where I was at.
Okay, gotcha.
I was telling you when Daddy died that I kept seeing Ezekiel 13.
Mm-hmm.
I said on my MySpace blog, I said Ephesians, but I meant to say Ezekiel. They belong to the first highest triad in the heavenly host, standing just below the septum and the cherubim. But that's the position that makes some of the most powerful angels to serve the Lord, according to St. Thomas Aquinas. The thrones have the task pondering in the disposition of divine judgment, meaning that they carry out full divine justice of the Lord. They are counterparts of angelic triads. They come from the closet of all angels to the spiritual perfection, and eliminates the light of God and the mirror-like goodness. In some Jewish lore, the thrones function within the heavenly scheme and things as either the chariots upon which the throne of God rests, the Merkabah, or the wheels of the chariot. This imagery is expressed fully in the Old Testament of Ezekiel 1:13-21. Here, with the cherub. And that's when I saw the eagle that I drew, you know, for
mm-hmm.
Daddy, and I said that they took him up in a blazing fire.
Yep.
And the chariot. And I put that on my MySpace blog. Okay, now we're at the second sphere of the heavenly governed.
Dominator's Choir. One of the nine accepted orders or choirs of angels, called also the dominions and the lords, and termed in the Hebrew the Heshmalim, in the celestial hierarchy, as organized by the 6th century theologian Dionysius the Areopagite. The dominations belong the second triad, with the virtues and powers that are ranked fourth overall among the angelic choirs. The chief or ruling princes of the order are said to be Hashmael, Zadkiel, Muriel, and Zachriel. According to Dionysus, the denominations have the duty in the heavenly host of regulating the tasks of the angels, and through them the majesty of God is manifested. Through the efforts, the dominations, who are naturally seen only rarely by mortals, the very order of the cosmos is maintained. They handle the minute details of cosmic life and existence, designating tasks to the lower orders of angels. By customs, they are believed to wear green and gold, and their symbols are the sword and the scepter, denoting their lordship over all created things. In turn, the dominations receive the instructions from the cherubim or the thrones. The next one is virtues. You there?
Yes.
Okay. The virtues, one of the nine choirs of angels, is listed by the 6th century theologian Dionysius the Areopagite. The virtues are ranked the 5th in the heavenly host and belong to the second triad of angelic orders with dominators and powers. As members of the second triad, they take part in the duties given to the three choirs, namely the ordering of their universe. The virtues specifically preside over the elements of the world and the process of the celestial life. Thus, all heavenly bodies, from the stars, the planets, and the galaxies themselves, are kept in their divinely appointed routes and progress. On Earth, the angels maintain a watch over nature, making and guiding every facet of natural life, rain, wind, snow, etc. In legend, two angels from this choir served as angels of the Ascension, appearing at the moment of the Ascension of Christ. The virtues are called in the Hebrew the Malachim and the Tarshishim. T-A-R-S-H-I-S-H-I-M.
How far? I'll go with that one, and then I'll go with the third sphere.
Okay, Powers Choir. The Powers Choir is one of the nine accepted choirs of angels, according to the celestial organization developed by the 6th century theologian, again, Dionysius the Areopagite. Also, the potentates, authorities, dynamis, and forces. The powers are placed in the second triad of the nine choirs that are numbered 6th overall. The powers were supposedly to be the very first of the angels created by God. Although this disagrees with the teaching that all angels came into existence at the same moment. They are described as having the task of defeating the efforts of the demons and overflowing the world, and we are declared the awesome defenders of the cosmos against all evil and the maintainers of all cosmic order and equilibrium. They are guardians of heavenly paths, policing the routes to and from heaven to earth, which means that they concern themselves as well with humanity.
The heavenly messengers, plus nine accepted choirs of angels as organized by the 6th century theologian Dionysius, are adopted largely by the Christian church. The principalities are placed in the third triad of angels, which are archangels and angels. They are ranked 7th overall. All called Prince, Dom, and princes. They are angels of the first choirs and concerned with the earth, and traditionally declared to have the roles of caretakers of every nation, province, country, district, city, town, village, and house, working as guardian angels to assist in every spot of and person. They seem to be bureaucratic, doubling of angelic activity. It can be argued that the guardian angels function as personal angelic protectors, while the principalities are administrative and technical writers. Okay, then we have angelic choir. One of the accepted choirs of angels and established 6th century theologian Dionysius the Aphrodite, the archangels are ranked the 8th and 9th choirs. Above angels and below principalities, the chief and the choirs are given Metron, Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Barfatel, and Barbel. Although of them, Michael is most commonly mentioned as the leader of the seventh heaven, and they act as the ruler of the cellular quarters. Okay, now we're going to stop there because it is time to go, and we'll start with Michael next and go from there.
Okay.
Now, link off of www.crystallinks.com. It's Ellie Crystal. And it's just a great, great, great person to learn anything that you ever want under the sun. This is Bright Lights Pathfinders, Kathy Cook, with my great sister, Medicine Walker, BBS Radio. And we love you all. And remember, listen with your heart and not your mind. Your mind is man-made. May the angels be in front, behind, surround you, in front, above you, below you, and within you, forever and a day more. We love you all. Bye-bye, Madison Walker.
Goodbye. I love you.
Love you, too.